Welcome to the Beef Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension beef educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we will be discussing an article that Dr. Matt Spangler wrote for the June issue of the Beef Watch newsletter titled, New Genetic Evaluation Released by the American Simmental Association. Thanks for joining me today, Dr. Spangler.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
Dr. Spangler, in this article, you highlight the new genetic evaluation that was recently released by the American Simmental Association and changes that producers should be aware of as they use this evaluation. Before we dive into discussing those changes, give a little history as to how genetic evaluation has been done by breed associations in the past and some changes that have occurred over time up to this point.
Yeah, really, if we think about national cattle evaluation or genetic evaluation of beef cattle in the U.S., it has been an evolving process. There was certainly a time when most of those genetic evaluations were conducted by land-grant universities. So an example, Iowa State, Colorado State, the University of Georgia, and Cornell were primary institutions that provided that service to the U.S. beef cattle industry. And then over time, those methods and tools migrated in-house, if you will, such that a lot of the beef breed associations started performing those activities on their own, augmented by research that occurred at land-grant institutions. And now as we kind of have fast-forwarded into the era of genomic selection, so the use of DNA markers to aid our selection decisions, once again, the beef cattle industry has reached out to academia for assistance in those kinds of activities to continue to make improvements to the genetic selection tools that are provided to beef cattle producers.
So this evaluation released by the American Simmental Association is a result of their being part of the International Genetic Solutions Group, which is a group of several breed associations located in North America. And they're also using some new technology that allows for large amounts of information to be used in the genetic evaluation. Talk a little about this IGS group and the technology that's being utilized to now estimate expected progeny differences.
That's right. So the IGS group, as you mentioned, International Genetic Solutions, really a couple of founding members in that organization would be the American Simmental Association and the Red Angus Association of America, but many other breed organizations represented in the United States that would include Limousine, Gelvie, Shorthorn, Kianina. Hopefully I haven't forgotten any there, but also Canadian breed associations involved in that as well. So it's really a partnership amongst several beef breed organizations to work and developing and releasing new tools to the beef industry. And really those efforts have gone on for a couple of years now related to the advancements in genomic selection. And so the evaluation that was recently released is kind of the end product of a lot of those efforts in using new software that's exceptionally fast. It's called Bolt, and that software has been brought to the U.S. beef industry by a company called Theta Solutions. Bruce Golden and Dorian Garrick, both PhD quantitative geneticists. And the new method is what we call single-step genomic evaluation, which is able to make use of the thousands of DNA markers, plus pedigree, plus all of the phenotypes or performance data, really in a seamless one-step manner to produce what we've known as genomically enhanced EPDs. And the huge benefit of that is not only the speed at which that is done, but also in the resulting EPDs, the fact that they're more accurate now as compared to the methods we used previously to include genomic information into our EPDs. So a huge advancement and one that the American Hereford Association made using the same software and methods last December, and a similar step that the American Angus Association made last summer using slightly different methods and software, but same general concepts.
As producers began to look at this genetic evaluation and start maybe comparing it to what information they had before, what are some changes that they're going to see?
Yeah, you know, with any new genetic evaluation, there's always changes. And I know that makes some cattle producers nervous that things changed. But the reality is if nothing ever changed, then I would argue we're not making progress. And why would we go through the effort of developing new tools? So I would encourage people to think of change as good in the sense that we're providing more accurate tools. A few of the key changes are even though I just told you that these EPDs released by the American Simmental Association are more accurate, the accuracy values associated with those EPDs will appear to be lower. And that's confusing. Here's why. The methods used to calculate accuracy before tended to produce biased estimates. So the accuracy values appear to be inflated larger than what they really should have been. So this new evaluation does a better job of calculating accuracy to more clearly reflect the likelihood that an animal's EPDs are going to change over time. So you'll see slightly lower accuracy values, but they are more reliable and more accurate EPDs. Another big change is relative to stayability, a highly economically relevant trait for those people that retain replacement heifers. And there's been some new statistical models used to calculate stayability EPDs. And the crux of it is there's more data now that's allowed to be used in the calculation of those EPDs. The way contemporary groups are defined for stayability are much more sensible now. So again, providing more reliable estimates of the likelihood of a bull's daughter staying productive longer in the herd. A few other big changes, carcass traits. There have been some substantial changes to the EPDs for carcass traits. And a big thing there is taking early weight records and including that into the evaluation of carcass EPDs. So things like weaning weight or post-yearling gain. And what that does is helps allow us to take into account the fact that for seed stock producers, a lot of the animals that get castrated and get actual carcass data collected, they're the ones that were never good enough to be bulls. And if we can tie them back through those early growth records to their original contemporaries, we can take that potential source of bias into account, so providing more accurate carcass EPDs. A huge change that producers will see is the genetic evaluation will be updated weekly. So instead of waiting in spring and fall for a new release of EPDs, they're going to be updated every 7 days. The nice thing about that is if I'm a seed stock producer and I'm turning in data and perhaps genotyping animals, now I'm going to see that information incorporated much faster than I would have before. I also think it allows commercial producers to really be able to take advantage of the most current predictions we have of the genetic merit of animals. So that's really a huge change. Of course, when we see EPDs change, we're going to see changes in economic index values. And so that's something that's important for people to realize. And one of the final things is we may see kind of a reduced range in the EPDs. So something like calving ease, particularly calving ease maternal, the range from the highest EPD in the breed to the lowest is going to be shrunk a little bit. And so I think it's important that producers also pay attention to what we might call percentile rank or how that animal ranks within the respective breed to kind of help us train our eye to what maybe some of those new EPDs actually look like.
Matt, as producers begin to think about and use this, how has DNA data and genetic information really provided enhanced EPDs and the value of that?
The big benefit of genomic selection, so including DNA information into the EPDs, is to allow for more accurate EPDs much earlier in an animal's life. And so if I take something like stayability, a yearling bull isn't going to have a lot of data on stayability for a long time because he's got to produce daughters that go into production. Now with genomics, we can get a clearer picture before he's ever sired a single calf into what his true genetic potential is. We'll still accumulate accuracy and his EPD will change as he begins to produce offspring with records, but genomics gives us a better glimpse much earlier on. And I think it gives commercial bull buyers then more confidence in the decisions that they make when they're buying yearling bulls.
So even with the advent of utilizing genetic information and estimating EPDs, is there still a need for collecting phenotypic data? How does that fit into this?
That's a great question, and the answer is yes. So genomic data does not replace the need to collect phenotypes. And in fact, I would argue what it has shown us is that we need to do a better job of that, particularly for some traits. So routine carcass records, we need more of those kind of data. I think for a lot of beef breed organizations, we need more data on fertility, more heifer pregnancy records, et cetera. So genomics does improve the EPDs, but it only does so if we have reliable phenotypes and we continue to collect phenotypes at least as much as we have historically, and in many cases, if we ramp that up. So really, it's the two pieces of information, DNA information and phenotypes working together.
From an animal breeding and selection standpoint, does this new genetic evaluation really change how producers should think about selection and utilizing tools like the genetic evaluation?
No, it really doesn't. So I think the same fundamentals are in place. You've got to have a breeding objective, identify, you know, what your marketing goals are, if you plan to retain your own replacement heifers, what environmental constraints you might have, choosing the correct breeds, and then using EPDs and hopefully those economic index values to select potential bulls or sires within those breeds. So the fundamentals are still very much in place. The only thing that's changed is those tools that we've always encouraged people to use, they're simply getting better.
Anything else to add as we point towards wrapping up, Matt?
Well, I'd say that we mentioned at the beginning that the American Simmental Association is part of this large multi-breed collaboration. And the other partner breeds that we talked about, they're going to be releasing updated EPDs as well, but those are likely going to be staggered here over the summer months as those breeds go through and continue to do their due diligence on looking things over and making sure their membership is aware and comfortable with the changes. So Simmental is just the first one. We're going to see these very same changes made to a long list of breeds over the next couple of months. And I think that's really exciting.
Thanks for joining me today, Dr. Spangler.
Oh, thank you very much.
For more information on the article, New Genetic Evaluation Released by the American Simmental Association, it's available at the beef.unl.edu website in the June issue of the Beef Watch newsletter. I also want to mention that Dr. Spangler is part of a genetic genomics group of six land-grant university extension geneticists that have formed ebeef.org. This is a website that provides information on genetics for cattle producers and includes fact sheets, videos, and webinars. If you're looking for research-based information on beef cattle genetics and how that information can be utilized and applied in your own operation, I'd encourage you to visit ebeef.org.